Jesus' account of the rich man and Lazarus presents the matter of living an active faith to his hearers. Jesus tells the story as part of a larger teaching concerning how to use possessions in this lifetime and how to prepare for the age to come. We will hear more of this later this summer when we are presented with Jesus' parable of the dishonest manager, which comes from that same section of teaching. But today's gospel reading that we heard from Luke 16 gives us plenty to consider. Jesus' discussion focuses on how people's belief is displayed in their actions. He starts that discussion by describing two individuals. The first of them presented in great wealth, a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day, while the second individual is pictured in a total lack of prosperity. That at that rich man's gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. These two individuals could not be more opposite in terms of earthly possessions. And yet, Jesus' story is not a commentary about rich and poor in this world. His intent is not to tell his audience that haves and have-nots will exist in society. The people listening to Jesus didn't need him to tell them something they already knew. But they did need to hear about the differing fates that were experienced by the rich man and Lazarus. That the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side, and the rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. Jesus' audience needed to understand why the rich man ended up in Hades while Lazarus ended up in paradise at Abraham's side. So what causes these different fates where one of the haves ends up in torment and one of the have-nots is in bliss? Is it that the impoverished get riches in heaven while the wealthy are dispossessed? Well, some might hear Jesus' teaching and think that's so. They can remember Abraham's speech to the rich man that Jesus said, that Jesus told them. Abraham saying, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things and Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in anguish." And then they may come to the conclusion that all poor people go to heaven and all rich people are condemned. But such conclusion is not a true understanding of what Jesus taught. And we ought not to import our own politico-economic interpretations into Jesus' teachings. The true reason behind the differing fates is connected to belief and piety. And that becomes evident when we consider Abraham's statements that are made in Jesus' account, when he responds to the rich man's request to have his brothers warned. When the rich man says, "I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham says to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." Why does Abraham mention Moses and the prophets and the importance of hearing them? Well, it is a reference to the Lord's words. The Lord's words spoken through the scriptures. Abraham's comment indicates that the way of life, the way to avoid a fate of eternal torment, was disclosed in what the Lord had already revealed. What the Lord had spoken through Moses and the prophets. And if the rich man had believed those things and put them into practice, he would be at Abraham's side. It's what our Lord Jesus summarizes in another one of his conversations when he discusses the matter of eternal life. When a lawyer stands up and puts Jesus to the test and says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus tells him, "Well, what is written in the law? How do you read it?" And the man answers him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And what does Jesus tell him? "You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. For that is what was taught in Moses and the prophets as they conveyed the Lord's will to his people." But had the rich man in Jesus' story been influenced by such things? Had he been influenced by the Lord's teaching? You'll think back on the description that Jesus gives of that rich man. The one clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. The rich man had received great blessings from the Lord. So much great blessings that he lacked really for nothing in his life. And that's what Abraham had in mind when he told him, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things." But how had the rich man used what the Lord provided him? And did he recognize that it came from the Lord? Did any of those blessings become instruments to demonstrate a love of neighbor? The conclusion from Jesus' story is a definitive no. They didn't. For remember again how Jesus described the rich man's neighbor, his literal neighbor, that at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. The rich man basically had to step over Lazarus to leave his house. And yet, that poor man placed at the rich man's doorstep received nothing from him. We're told that Lazarus longed to eat the rich man's table scraps. But not even a doggy bag was brought out to him. Rather, as Jesus says, "Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores." And even in the afterlife, we're told by Jesus that the rich man recognizes Lazarus at Abraham's side. And yet, he wants to be served by that poor man. "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." Jesus' story reveals the rich man's lack of active faith. He had not believed and incorporated into his life what the Lord had revealed through Moses and the prophets. And that is what led him to the condemnation that he experienced. It wasn't the wealth that condemned him. Just as Lazarus's blessed fate was not due to his poverty. Rather, the rich man did and didn't do. what he did or didn't do with that wealth revealed what he believed. And concern for the age to come, driven by what the Lord taught, by what the Lord revealed, by what the Lord spoke through Moses and the prophets, was not present in him. And this example that Jesus gives is an illustration of what the Apostle John taught in today's epistle reading. Recall what the Apostle said about Christians knowing God's love. We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. And that statement declares that Christians like you and I know of God's love that has been demonstrated by Jesus, the one who gave himself for the life of the world, gave himself into death for the life of the world, and was raised to life again. We have heard that extensive witness about Jesus. An extensive witness of Jesus coming into the world and what he endured and also what he experienced, both in death and resurrection. We have heard that extensively taught during the first half of our church year. It was the focus of the scripture readings from that first Sunday in Advent, when it was nice and cool and cold, right? To Trinity Sunday last week. But John's statement goes further. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. And the apostle there notes that part of the living faith that is to be created in Christians includes abiding in a love similar to what God showed to them and having God abide in them. And this describes the transformative nature of discipleship, of being brought into the kingdom of heaven, of becoming a follower of Jesus. Because being born from above, or being born of water and the Spirit, like Jesus talked about with Nicodemus in last Sunday's gospel reading, that is to bring regeneration, new birth to the Christian. That they actually become like God their Father in this world. Which also means beginning to imitate Jesus, the only begotten Son in this lifetime. Doing so brings confidence for the day of judgment. Or, putting that in terms of Jesus' story about the rich man and Lazarus, it means not ending up in torment in Hades, but rather ending up at Abraham's side. But the apostle includes a warning that complements what Jesus taught in his story. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, with those words, John points to a disconnect between love of God and a lack of love for one's brother. That was the disconnect seen in the rich man from Jesus' story, if the rich man even did love God at all. Because could love of God be consistent with complete disregard for Lazarus laid at his gates? Both Jesus and John are saying, not at all. That is not how it is. And this is the teaching that we receive from Jesus and passed down to us through the apostles. We have been led to believe in the one who gave his life for us. That's how God's love was shown to us. And because that is so, something new is possible for us. We love because he first loved us. And that includes not only our devotion to God, but also our concern for our fellow brothers and sisters in the faith. It's really the basis for decisions that we have made as a congregation together, including how we use the good things that God has given to us now. Consistent with God's love being shown to us, and now we beginning to act like him, be like him in this world, we have chosen, that is, a new will created in us that we are now enacting. We have chosen to do several things together as a congregation. We have chosen to subsidize fellow congregations in our region. We have chosen to contribute to our local human care organizations. We have chosen to participate in collections to support our local pregnancy center. We've chosen to operate our clothes closet for neighbors. And that's just a sampling. That's the together part. That's not counting anything that all of you are doing separately in your lives. And the apostle reminds us this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. And that is true for congregations of Christians and for the individual lives of disciples. That where love of God and love of brother are lacking, we are called to repentance and reform. And where they are present, we are encouraged to continue and even to increase our activities. This is what we prayed for in today's collect. Because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing. Grant us your grace to keep your commandments that we may please you in both will and deed, including that commandment that we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. This transformation that God works by giving us birth from above has a positive outcome, as the apostle outlined. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. It's the message that's been brought to us by Moses and the prophets, and brought to us by Jesus, someone who rose from the dead, and brought to us by those who testify about Jesus. We are to listen to them, the ones who carry the Spirit with their words. And such hearing generates actions that demonstrate how we have been made like God even now in our current lifetimes. And with that love perfected in us, we can anticipate being in the age to come with Lazarus and all others whom God has helped. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.